This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are listening to The Coming Out Tapes, an audio archive of LGBT stories. I'm your host, Kerish Bradley, and throughout this season, I'll be talking to lots of different people from the community about lots of different things connected to coming out. This is the second half of the Black Pride special. If you're new to the podcast, go and listen to the first half and all the wonderful interviews we recorded with people at Black Pride UK. What you're about to hear is me and Oz chatting shit in a field, in Haggerston, so it's far less interesting. So we have come to Black Pride, so obviously last year we went to the London Pride Parade.
We did, yeah.
And we interviewed loads of people and we had a lovely time, and then we went and sat in a park and sort of talked about all the problems that we have.
Yeah, and I spilled a lot of rum.
Yes.
In the process, yeah.
And then this year we've come to Haggerston and we're at Black Pride, but we don't want to sit and complain about all the things.
It's actually been a really nice day.
There are so many things about Black Pride which are just wonderful. Like, there's less people in more space, so it's not as claustrophobic.
Yeah, so many families.
Oh, the families are amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone is having a wonderful time. The music has been amazing.
Yeah, I've been like getting distracted by the music, and Keris has been like, Oz, can you work? And I'd just be like,
It really makes me wish that I knew how to dance, because it's been great.
You do know how to dance.
I do not. Fanny Pack, that's they were a band that were on,
yeah,
today.
They were
who
great.
Were phenomenal. I can't wait to look them up on the internet afterwards. And we've met loads of really wonderful people, and we've met an incredibly wide range of representatives of different communities.
Yeah, and it's like I was saying to somebody earlier, this looking around, because this feels more London. Like this is when you just go out into London, this is the diversity you see. And for some reason that is absent at London Pride. Mm. And this is what we talked about last year as well. So I don't know, it just feels so much better because it just does feel representative of London.
Something that I really have appreciated is that because we're in this park which only has two entrances, so you sort of basically have to queue to get in, and there are bag searches and things for security. And at the beginning, I think people were a bit grumpy about how long it was taking to queue, and there were some problems with the way that people were being searched at the beginning, but the organisers of the event and the volunteers were like so open.
They were so great
about that, and they were like, we're working on it, and giving people lots of opportunities to ask for different ways of being treated if that's what they needed. People were like, oh, we have to wait ages, but no one was cross at anyone. And I think that the fact that you basically have to queue to get into this event means that, like, I really appreciate that it's a closed space.
Yeah.
So when we were doing this interview in the park after the Pride Parade last year, people were literally taking photos of us and other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we were wearing Pride clothes.
Yeah. That's true. It's so true. And also, the thing, what I was going to say when you were talking about us queuing in to get in, it was really nice, first of all, that the stewards were kind of making sure everyone was comfortable and giving everyone so many opportunities to make sure that they felt comfortable as they were entering the festival. Because that's really important. Because if that's your... If you have a shit time as soon as you enter, you're going to have a shit time at the whole festival.
Yeah.
But then also what I noticed was once we did get to the front of the queue, the people who searched us were actually the nicest security. I have never like been treated that well by any security at any place before.
How do you often get treated at security?
Usually with a lot of suspicion. My beard doesn't help.
You have been randomly selected.
I get randomly selected so many times. The word random should be redefined.
It's a very celebratory event.
Mm.
I think a question we should probably talk about is, should there be white people at Black Pride?
That's a great question. So multiple people have discussed this question in different scenarios with me in the run-up to.
I was going to do a little, just take a moment to acknowledge the fact that I asked that as a white person who's currently sat at Black Pride.
Sure.
But you, like, we're already, you've got all of these thoughts.
I have so many thoughts that the world has. No, so that's a great question. I think my take on Black Pride is that it's a celebration of how genuinely really diverse the LGBTQ community is. And in stuff I've seen on Twitter, they've always been like, yes, this is an event for black and ethnic minority people. White people are welcome. But please be respectful of the fact that this exists because not all people of colour feel comfortable at the London Pride event, and it's specifically created for people who feel like they can have a safe space and celebrate diversity and celebrate intersectionality. And yeah, I think, you know, as long as people are coming for that reason, it's great. It would be less great if there were just a bunch of white people who were coming to get in on a free Mnet concert. That'd be terrible. But also, the only time today when I felt like white people were not being cool was when I saw just one group of white men who were just by themselves, and they were just like the type of...
They were the very, very attractive ones.
Very attractive, very muscly, muscle tees, you know, and I don't want to assume anything about them, but at the same time, that's the only time that internally I was like, oh, this is why I don't go to regular Pride. And I was wishing that they would just mingle a little bit more rather than just make themselves a little isolated group. But again, I'm not, who am I to stand here and judge and decide if they belong here or not? It's not my place, you know? I'm here to celebrate the diversity of London, and that's part of the diversity of London, so fine.
I have felt incredibly welcome here. And there have been people who I have seen them being a bit like, you know, what are you doing here? In the same way that I've seen people who have come to like the Pride parade who aren't wearing anything that visibly sort of associates them with the parade or the community,
mm-hmm.
Who are like maybe just like taking lots of pictures and things like that. And I've been a bit like, but what are you?
Yeah.
What are you getting out of this? And I, 100% respect the fact that they feel like that. And that was part of the reason why I was unsure whether or not I should come. I would like to think that I have not been, you know, imposing myself on people. But then I have also been running around with a microphone asking people
yeah,
if I can do interviews.
I think what it made me think about is like, I probably have my own prejudices. And my own insecurities about where and if I belong in the community, and like that's why I avoided going to London Pride for many years, because I just didn't feel like I belong. So I just then checked myself and was like, oh, so you can't be judging people or thinking that people should be excluded from this. And I don't think people should be excluded from this. I just think the people who come should come to celebrate exactly what it represents.
But it's also at the same time like completely understandable that some people are wary.
Yeah, I think so. And I think one of the brilliant people we spoke to, Alex Leon, he dropped a series of brilliant tweets last year which was kind of like a beginner's guide for white people coming to Black Pride for the first time. And he very nicely put it, telling people, you know, come and celebrate the different cultures that are represented here, and be respectful and be aware that maybe some people will not want to kind of mingle with you because the reason they came here is because they didn't feel like they belonged anywhere else. Mm. It's tricky. It's a tricky thing to deal with. But I think everybody here has been very welcoming, and everyone does seem to be genuinely be celebrating Pride. And somebody, one of the people we spoke to, said, this is Pride.
Yeah.
Over, you know, London Pride, which happened yesterday.
Yeah. And there are, yeah, there are like lots of people here with their partners or are here supporting their friends.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think everyone has been incredibly welcoming.
And I particularly like that people have come here because it's more a festival rather than a loud parade. There are areas where you can, like right now we are in a quiet area, or you can go right to the middle of the stage, main stage area, and just really get into the party. And there are families everywhere.
Yes.
And I feel like that's really important, because yesterday when I was marching with UCL in the Pride Parade yesterday, and every time I saw a family with their small children, especially like the brown families or like straight families, I was like, this is great, because we need you guys to educate your kids about this and tell them that it's fine and that these people exist, so that if their kids do happen to be part of the LGBTQ community once they grow older, or even when they're young, if they realize that, you know, they don't quite fit what society expects them to fit into, they feel like it's okay, you know? And those, like, seeing those families and those kids, that really, like, melted my heart yesterday.
I love seeing children, like, loving Pride. There are so many kids they've got, like, rainbow crowns, rainbows on their faces, and they're running around having a great time. It's great. And then there are also, you know, there are lots of, like, cool young people who are here because it's a festival, and they're dancing and...
Yeah.
Getting drunk and stuff, and it's nice that everyone is kind of like existing. Yeah.
But in a way, it's like even that's good, because it's kind of moving towards, like, it doesn't have to be like a thing. It's like another part of society that we're celebrating, because Pride is still a thing, isn't it? And people still ask the question, why do you need Pride? And hopefully one day we will not need it, but we're going to need it for a long time. And the more people celebrate it in this, I don't want to use the word normal way, but in a normal way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As if it's just another festival, the closer we will get to it just being a part of society that it should be.
Yeah. Okay, so how does recording today compare to recording last year?
First of all, we met some incredibly amazing people. We met Lady Phil.
I know. We have run around this festival like a pair of children, finding people that we follow and love on Twitter,
yeah,
and then using the microphones as an excuse to gush at them.
Yeah.
And they all have my badge now.
They all have your badge, yeah. We met Travis. We met Beverly Knight. I'm hoping we will get to talk to Diane Abbott. Because she is here, but you know, we might not be allowed near her because she's so cool.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that really I loved about recording today was there was a person from Bangladesh, and they actively approached us saying they wanted to talk to us when they saw what we were doing, and I think that's because, like, they were celebrating the fact that they were a person of color who was openly gay and a Muslim, yeah, and weren't allowed to be back in Bangladesh. And it was so different to last year at London Pride when we were trying to record people, and a couple of times people ran away from us, and there were people of color who didn't want to be featured on any kind of recording, or maybe didn't want to be associated with the event, or just didn't like the two of us.
Yeah.
Either way. I just thought that was so nice that he wanted to come up to us and be like, Let me tell you about my story.
Yeah.
That was really nice.
One person complimented me on my amazing t-shirt designed by the wonderful Scary Boots, and so we got to interview them, and we were like, why did you come to Black Pride? And they were like, well, half my family is gay, which, oh, imagine being in that family.
Amazing.
And they had gone to London Pride and then met up with a group of people who were like, we're all going to Black Pride tomorrow, so you have to come. And who else have we, what else has been different? There's one thing that I have really appreciated about this festival is how much more visibly disability is represented.
Mm.
So we literally could not find anyone at the London Pride Parade last year, which is because of the space, I think. But
yeah.
Here they have, so they have sign language interpreters for all of the stages, which is great. They have a raised platform for people who have wheelchairs with them, so that they can see the stage as well. They have like all of these things to make the space more accessible, and then also the fact that it's a different form of event makes it more accessible. So that's been fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? Like, I keep saying this, but it does feel more like a representation of real London here than the Pride Parade.
Yeah.
For sure.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The ratio of people to companies is also a lot better. Like, I can see some swag, and there are obviously some stalls here, but pretty much all of the stalls that I've seen so far have been like community stalls of charities and things. So whilst we were recording this podcast, a person came up to us to give us some leaflets and also be like, oh, are you just recording yourselves? In a way that very much implied that he thought we were incredibly narcissistic. And then I was like, oh, we're recording a podcast. And he was like, oh, sorry. As if that like makes it any better.
Yeah. A podcast is just like, you know, we're like the definition of trash basic millennials. We both have our podcasts and we're just recording ourselves in a park.
Yeah, but the leaflet that this person was giving us was about PN, who is a Ugandan lesbian who's been deported. So this person has been deported on an unlawful fast track to Uganda, where they are now like in physical danger. And it's just like, I think is the clearest difference that I've seen between this and the Pride Parade yesterday. So the London Pride Parade yesterday, where people are celebrating Theresa May's empty words about her quote-unquote allyship of the LGBT community, as if she has not wielded her power as an MP and representative of the people in an utterly destructive way to our community. Whereas here, like, they are aware of the struggles of the LGBT community outside of the specific, incredibly privileged group of people who are lucky enough to be employed by the companies that will drop however many thousands of pounds it is on a party bus to be in the Pride Parade.
Yeah. I mean, that was interesting, because even when we were queuing, there were people giving out information about LGBTQ people who were being deported. And again, it's like, it's one of those things where it really works in this environment, this festival as well, because people are not just here to celebrate and like have a great time. They're also aware that this exists for a reason. This exists.
So many more people said in their answer to "What does Pride mean to you?" Yeah. Pride is a protest.
Yeah.
Than last year. Everyone said Pride is about celebrating who you are.
Yeah.
But here they were like, let's not forget.
Exactly. And I think people are then more receptive to this information they're being given about the various people that are being deported, and their lives are at danger, because where they're going back to, they could anything could happen to them, because it's illegal in a lot of countries.
This year the Home Office has deported a record number of LGBT asylum seekers,
and yet they put the rainbow flag on their Twitter page for the month of June.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, so like the rainbow flag, particularly as a symbol for organisations, has been used and is still used to demonstrate that your organisation is safe for LGBT people to go to. So you put a rainbow sticker in your window so that people know that they can go into that place and be yourself.
So you started collecting some information about this, didn't you?
I did. I was like, I'm so angry, I'm going to make a spreadsheet.
The ultimate nerd protest.
So I've started this spreadsheet, which is basically every company or organization that I have seen who's done Pride merchandise or changed their Twitter logo or anything kind of like that, putting on Pride events, looking at their record of supporting the LGBT community, and also their like record more generally in terms of what they do, which is bad for the LGBT community and bad for the community, like other kinds of marginalized communities, especially the intersections of those communities, so that people can make more informed choices. So if you are going to buy Pride merchandise to get rainbowed up, celebrate the month, like, you can find who's giving the most money, who's giving 100% of their profits to a charity, and who's just donating a fixed number, no matter how many disgusting sandwiches they sell.
Would you say that, is your take on it that they should specifically be giving to a charity, or would you also support them if they're just an LGBTQ business owned by...
So I love LGBT businesses.
Yeah.
And I've discovered lots from doing this project, which has been really fantastic. I think that if you are making money from Pride, your money needs to be going back to the community. And what I have sort of like, the thoughts that I've developed from doing this project is that I actually have quite a lot of specific opinions on how that money goes back to the community. So a lot of organizations who have changed their symbols for Pride, they rate really highly on the Stonewall Equality Index. They have an LGBT network, and they really care about, and they provide lots of like great benefits for the employees who work for them, who are LGBT, and they try to be sort of inclusive and equal. But they, like, the language and the extent of what they're doing stops at the people that they employ. And I think we have to remember how the fact that such a small proportion of the community is actually in full-time employment.
Yeah.
And such a small proportion of the community are in employed by the kinds of organizations that are able to offer those benefits. And also, given the way that like capitalism, given the way that a lot of these companies are like also often quite racist or ableist in their hiring practices, the kinds of, like, there are barriers to certain people within our community who are mm-hmm. able to get these jobs. So if the only way that companies are giving back to the community in Pride Month and outside it is to their employees, then they're not benefiting the people within the community who, like, started Pride.
Yeah.
And they're not benefiting the people in the community who, like, need it the most right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, another thing I was thinking about was with the parade itself, because it's become such a big event in, like, the London calendar. The two of us, we follow a lot of gay Twitter, and I was finding some people saying how their organizations offered places on the in the march or the float on a first come first serve basis, and a lot
or
of those
a
people
lottery.
Yeah, and a lot of those people were straight people who just wanted to go for the party, and I'm like, that is such an easy fix. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
And again, that makes me annoyed that the Pride Parade is just then like a big advert for these people, and then for the straight people it's just a big party, forgetting that it is always going to be a protest.
Yes. And I okay, other things that really annoy me about
now you're getting the content you want.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, lots of these companies actually do things that are really actively harmful to the community. For example, Amazon is on the list. And the way that they treat their employees in, like, their warehouses is appalling. If your employees have to buy tents to camp outside your warehouse so that they're not late for work, if you're not giving people toilet breaks,
wow.
Then, like, I don't want my Pride party playlist to come.
Yeah.
Like, at the exploitation of those members of, like, society. I don't think that's what Pride's meant to be about. So I've tried to be kind of like as wide-reaching as possible, there's been like a couple of people have tried to criticize that and said that a lot of the things that I put in the negative column are not relevant because they don't actually have anything to do with the LGBT community. But if your company is racist, then like there are people in the community who are people of color.
Yeah.
And it's not okay to take to celebrate a company that is only celebrating like a subsection of the community.
Mm.
So I've been finding out a lot of like not very nice things about a lot of these companies. And then the other thing is that a lot of the things that these companies are boasting about are not things that we should be patting them on the back for. Like, if you have an LGBT network which is built on volunteers and it's what people do in their spare time in order to make space for themselves in your company, you are not an ally of the LGBT community, right? If a small proportion of your company has to like spend their free time reminding you to like have gender neutral bathrooms or respect people's pronouns or give benefits to the same-sex partners of people as well as differing sex partners, I'm not gonna shake you by the hand for that.
Just feel like it's becoming easy to just stick that rainbow on
and
be like, we support you, without thinking about what that really means.
I'm up to 215 organizations right now. I have put so many hours of work into this, and what I have is a monster of a spreadsheet, which I think is actually really difficult to read. The plan is, when I get to 250 organizations, I'm gonna change the spreadsheet. So I'm gonna make it a bit more sorted. So I'm putting together a list of like things that I think some companies have done which are really good, which make me appreciate the fact that they are celebrating Pride, and some things which companies have done which I find incredibly distasteful whilst they're celebrating Pride, to create sort of like a list of sort of more objective categories. And then I'm also going to be sorting the organizations so that I'll have one spreadsheet for like these companies do Pride merchandise, these companies sponsor Pride parades, these companies
do these things. And obviously there'll be companies in like all of them. It'll just make it more manageable so that people don't have to scroll through this beast of a
amazing
spreadsheet. I have so many plans, Oz.
You have so many plans.
So many plans. That'll
You're going to change the world, Kerry Spradley.
Through the power of...
spreadsheets.
I've been hosting this whole thing on Google and I've been so horrible about Google and my spreadsheet. But when your own company is protesting you being at Pride and you have to threaten your employees with disciplinary action for speaking out against your LGBT like policies, then like you need to take a breath.
Yeah, for sure.
And rethink things. Huh.
And come.
We found something to complain about.
There's also some great food which I really want to try. Like, I'm so jealous of people's boxes of food.
I think there needs to be more food, though. People are having to queue for quite a long time.
That is true. That is definitely true. But the food looks so good. I won't stop saying it. And I will go get some.
You assaulted someone's ice cream.
I didn't. What happened was I was waiting for you to nicely approach that very fabulous person who was channeling the genie.
Leslie.
Was that their name?
I really hope that it was Leslie. I think it was Leslie.
And while I was waiting with as the tech person in the background, somebody walked into me and I felt this like squelchy coldness in my elbow. And turned out they had this amazing like strawberry ice cream thing. They were very apologetic about it and they gave me a leaflet to clean myself with. And they promised an interview. But yeah, we're going to have to go find them. But the ice cream was good. They told me that I should try and lick it off my elbow, and then I realised at that point that my skills are limited, and this might be one of the reasons why I'm single.
Do you think? Yeah, I was going to say. Do you think it was a ruse to test your flexibility?
Maybe.
And they were like, they were unimpressed.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, people, but this is what happens when you write your thesis.
You become less equipped to lick your own elbow.
Yeah.
Heard it here first.
You heard it here first. It's important thoughts.
At the crossover.
At the crossover.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Coming Out Tapes. I have been your host, Kerris Bradley, and I would like to say thanks to Scary Boots for the artwork, which is available to purchase on Redbubble, Michaela Moody for the music, and Alex Lathbridge of the Smart Material Collective for his support of the project. If you want to get involved, please tweet at us, because we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and questions. If you liked this episode, subscribe and leave us a review or recommend us to a friend, because it makes a big difference.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.